Isn't God so good? I love him. He is so worthy of our worship. What a great day to be together. I wish we were together in person, and that's not just wishing. I'm praying for that, and I'm looking forward to that. But whoever you're able to be with today, enjoy that. Celebrate that. It's the Lord's day. This is the day he's made. We can rejoice. We can be glad in it. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to remind you that we actually will give our attention, we'll give our resources, we'll give our abilities towards that which we worship, that which we want, that which we feel most convicted and most, drawn to. And so as you are looking at your life, I pray that you would adjust wherever you need to adjust to honor and to glorify Jesus, to not be afraid in this day and age. But boy, is there a lot going on. And there's so many debates, and there's so much frustration. There's so many people that are anxious right now. And so I just want to take time, and I want to pray with you just right now before we get started. Lord Jesus, I know right now that there are people who are anxious and depressed. There are people who are feeling lost more than ever before. And they already know that their names are engraved in the palm of your hand. They know that they are held forever, and yet they are losing sight of that. And I ask Jesus that today, not just Aaron Day speaking, or not just Josh leading worship, or not just some kind of effect that we would have, Lord, on people, but your Holy Spirit, through your holy word, through your conviction, through your empowerment, would remind them that you love them and are with them. And we would give our lives, and we would give our resources, and we would give our energy and our strength towards trusting you and following you and helping others to do the same. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys, we're starting a new series today, and it's called Influencers, a Different Kind of Kingdom. You know, influence, that we have so much of that in our life, right? We are all influencers. And so I want to let you know that an influencer, and I have this definition for you, is simply a person or a thing that influences another. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Who do you influence? Who are your influences? Who are your influencers? Do you know that there's people that make millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars on social media because they're influencers? They're popular people already. They're famous people. They're people that become famous for lots of things. But they get on Instagram in particular, or YouTube, and they influence people. And when they have social media posts, they get paid big dollars because people pay attention to them, and they're actually trying to sell people stuff. Well, I want to tell you that we all get to influence people, and I hope that you would understand by now, if you know anything about me in particular and about Crosswater, we're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to point people to Jesus, but we are trying to influence people. And I want you to understand that. Look, there is a lot to this second book of Corinthians. It's a letter to the church at Corinth. And Paul had written them a letter, then he came and visited them, and then he wrote them another letter. And there was problems between him and Corinth. And we'll have some of that unpacked later on today, and definitely have some of that unpacked as you read through the book of 2 Corinthians with us. But Corinth was a place that really loved status. They really loved wisdom. They loved people recognizing them. The Corinthian people were a big group, a mix of people. Former Roman soldiers, definitely Roman citizens that would retire. Jewish people that got kicked out of Rome. There were Greeks there that were wise and philosophers. And there was, like we talked about a month and a half ago, there were people there that just loved to worship whatever they could. Sexual sin was rampant, and they did a lot of different things to a lot of different gods. You know what? Corinth kind of sounds like us. It sounds like the United States of America. And we're like this, right? We love influence. We love being influenced. We love wisdom. We love people to like us. We love to have all kinds of recognition. And yet, we fail in our desire to be wise and our desire to be liked, literally liked, like on posts and stuff, but also physically liked, and people want us. We fail to recognize that God is the one that actually made us, and God defines how we are to be best suited to bless him and to bless others. In short, God made us and he knows how we're to run. Look, today, right now in our lives, we have experts all over the place that we will follow, that we will quote if they agree with us, especially on quarantine and opening up the economy or keeping it closed down or being freed up to be able to go to church. I so desperately want to be in your presence. And I can find all kinds of experts that say that's the right thing to do. But then I hear an expert that says something that I don't like and nah, they're no longer an expert. Look, we are drawn to what we value. We're drawn to who we value. We're drawn to those who agree with us. And we're looking in this book in 2 Corinthians about a true influence that would be Christ-like. We just talked about even if love like Jesus. Well, this is how you live it out when there's conflict, when there's pain. Look, in our lives, if somebody doesn't agree with us, we say they're a hater. In our world, if we're uncomfortable with something or we don't like the way something's going, we'll do this thing called ghosting them. We'll just kind of stop responding to them and we'll just leave that relationship. It's really hard when it's in marriage, right? Because how are you going to do that? Well, we divorce or we check out. And what do you do with church? Well, go find a new church. Gosh, you don't have to go to that church, and we're not even physically going to a building at all anymore. So now we have all kinds of options. But what about dealing with the things that are a challenge? And how would we do that? Well, I want to tell you that Paul had a massive conflict with the church in Corinth. They didn't like him. They thought he was really powerful in his letters and really weak in person. They thought he was a weak speaker. He was poor. Like, he didn't just take money from people. He actually worked with his own hands. At some points, he was homeless. And they're comparing him to other Christian leaders. Another what later on in the second chapter, or the second book of Corinth or Corinthians, sorry about that, we find out that he says, I'm not like those super apostles. There was these famous Christian celebrities that had money and they were really, really well spoken and they looked good and people loved what they had to say. And they didn't like necessarily what Paul had to say. You know what Paul did though? He kept it all 100. He brought it back to first things first. You know who that is? That's Jesus. So let's go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 5. In this spirit of keeping first things first, this is how Paul starts this, really what would have been his third letter to the church of Corinth. And he wasn't going to visit them again. He's sending them a letter instead. Check this out. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. First things first, he is an apostle of Christ Jesus. By the will of God. He's like, I didn't choose this. God chose me. And Timothy, our brother. And so and back in this day, when they would write a letter, you know what they would do, right? They would put who it's from in the beginning and even to who it is in the beginning. But it was, that's how they do it. Instead of love, Paul, it would be like right in the beginning. This is who's giving it to. And he's like, this is my distinction. I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. And so that was Western Greece. And this is up where Corinth was at. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he starts the letter out. Let's keep first things first. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then this has really been a monumental passage for me in my life. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll hear it and it'll help you to influence and be influenced by God, for God, and in others' lives. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, all of it, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Guys, let me unpack this really quick. I know you probably already got it because you're brilliant and you're smart. And I want to let you know that at the end of today's message, we have some discussion questions for you that you could take time to discuss with people right there today, maybe later on this week. And if you are somebody who is like in this time, in this day and age, you're by yourself, this is something you and God can go to and you could spend time and maybe discuss it with somebody else. But you also see it in the description of this video that there are these questions, these discussion questions. But before we get to that, I want to say to you, the afflictions we go through, all of them, God will use. He will actually give you himself. He is the comforter, by the way. He's a God of all comfort, but his Holy Spirit is the comforter. It's one of his titles in the book of John. And so here's what's great about that, that he wants to comfort you with more of himself and that you could comfort others in their time of need with the comfort you received. How beautiful is this? God's not wasting a thing, friend. Not a darn thing. He wants to and longs to give us comfort. I don't know if you know this, but the baby of 11 children in my household, in my family, is named Nehemiah. Nehemiah means God is our comfort. And that's such a great reminder. We named him that before anything happened with his childbirth. He was born pretty premature. And at one point when he was born, I got to walk him upstairs to the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. And he needed intensive care. His lungs weren't as developed as they needed to be. They needed to get him some nutrients because he was a little guy and he needed help. And they couldn't get a line started in him. They're trying to get him to get some nutrients, like I was saying, and to be hydrated. And you know what? I had to actually step back because the nurses and doctors said, hey, Dad, we need you to step back. And I'm like, but I'm praying for my son. Well, you can pray over there. We need to get this started. He needs an IV. And you know what? I had to actually step back. I literally stepped back and I was crying. And I said, hey, what happens if we don't get the IV started? This old lady who, really strong, really wonderful nurse, terrible bedside manner, and that's okay. She said to me, that's not even an option. He'll be fine. And a different lady said, this is critical for him to get this IV started. And they couldn't find it. And this old lady who was cranky, she got it started. But in that moment, I had to actually give over my son Nehemiah, whose name means God is my comfort. I had to give him over to God and say, God, I can't do this. These nurses can, doctors can, but if they don't, you're going to actually have to comfort me in the loss of my son. And so God is my comfort. He's either going to comfort me with my son being okay and fine, which he is, praise God, or he would comfort me in the loss. And so God gives us comfort. And now I've been able to walk through a lot of things with people, and I've been able to bring from my own experience what God has given to me. Look, I'm at a spot in my life right now where I want so desperately for people to know the comfort of Jesus Christ, especially in these trying times. So let me bring you to a real summary of this whole series that we're going to be going through in 2 Corinthians. In the kingdom of God, a throne is actually a cross. The throne that God sits on, that Jesus sits on, is a cross. He gave himself. Now, he rose from the dead and he comes back later, right? Second coming of Christ, he comes back majestically on a war horse and he wins always. But you know how he won? Was by humbling himself. And that he, the King of Kings, the greatest influencer ever, laid down his life. And we're called to do that too. So I want to give you a few main ideas that we're going to be looking at in the book here of 2 Corinthians. First of all of our lives are turned upside down by a God who dies on a cross. Isn't that amazing? Our lives are turned around. First things first, our God laid down his life for us. And so here's the theme. How can we trust God? Well, he gave his life with nothing personally to gain. Now, he gained our salvation, and he glorified the Father. Jesus glorified the Father by laying down his life for us. But this is a God we can trust. He wasn't in it just for himself. It's for the joy that was set before him. He would restore us to relationship with God. How wonderful is that? That's the God we can trust. And that can motivate us in all of our relationships. Which leads me to this. One of the themes all the way through this with Paul is an authentic faith with no ulterior motives. He wasn't trying to get anything from the church in Corinth. He was trying to give them Jesus, and he gave himself in that way, which leads to this. Paul's life was not out of sync with Christ. You see it right here, and I'll read it one more time for you in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 1. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, because we will, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. And right in here it says, a little footnote, it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound for us, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Look, you don't just go through suffering, you also get comfort, just like Jesus. All right, I want to bring you back to 2 Corinthians 1, and I want to bring you to a time of much pain for Paul. And he talks about it, and he talks about the benefit from it. It's 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 12. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. We were so burdened, we didn't even think we were going to live. Indeed, he says, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Remember the resurrection we just talked about last week? That informs us, that empowers us, that gives us the ability to go through anything, friend, anything at all. Painful, unsettling, unsure, but God is not unsettled, unsure. We rely on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Somebody needs to hear that, right? On him, we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer. Like, you can join in with people when they're going through what they're going through by praying for them. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Join in, friends. Pray. You ever like, well, all I can do is pray. That's the winning shot. Who are you talking to when you pray, friend? You're talking to God. You and I have a connection, a red phone to the throne, bruh. We get to love Jesus and connect with Jesus and love others by bringing them to Jesus and praying. And that counts. And so the final verse here that I want to share with you before I go on to some other things is, for our boast is this, Paul says, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity or holiness. Remember that? Being set apart for the glory of God, to be used for his glory. We behaved with holiness, simplicity, and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. He's talking to people that didn't like him. He's talking to people that mocked him. He's talking to people that preferred other people other than him, and yet he was the one that led them to Jesus. He was the first teacher of the gospel to the church in Corinth. He established that church. He's like, look, I was just simple with you. In another passage, he says, I just preached Christ and him crucified. Like, that was my winning shot for you. That's what I gave to you. And so this leads me to this question. How can you and I repair and rebuild relationships when they're broken? How can we rebuild and repair trust when these relationships are broken? Look, not too long ago in my life, I talked with a lady whose whole life was shattered. And she looked at me and she goes, how is this gonna be put back together? And I said, by God, God's gonna take these pieces and he's gonna put them together. And it's not gonna look like it makes a lot of sense to us at first, but it's all over the place. And then pretty soon we see a mosaic. bunch of little pieces making a different picture, and God can do that. If he made you, he can save you. And if he saved you, he can totally make you new, all over again. But how can we repair and rebuild trust when relationships have been broken? We gotta trust Jesus, first of all. And then, like we looked out for a whole month, love like Jesus. And you're gonna need him for that. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians. We're gonna go 18 through 22. And it's a real positive example on how to love like Jesus and how to trust Jesus and how to work through these broken relationships and to restore and rebuild trust. He says, as surely as God is faithful, verse 18, our word to you has not been yes and no. We didn't vacillate. We didn't go back and forth. We weren't wishy-washy. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim to you, Silvanus and Timothy and I. So for the Son of God was not yes and no, but in him, it's always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. Hallelujah. Put that down in the comments. Do you feel that? Do you feel that Jesus isn't wishy-washy? There's always yes in God. The promises of God are always yes in Jesus. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. What else? Put some of the promises in these comments. Let us know. Let your friends know. Testify. That's why through him that we utter out amen to God. For his glory. Why? Because the promises of God are always yes in Jesus. And it's God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. He's covered us with his Spirit. He's filled us with his Spirit. He's blessed us. He's anointed us. And who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or as a down payment. Oh my goodness, it's a service loaner for life. He's given us his Spirit, and that establishes that we will be with him forever. We will be in God's presence someday, but we have his presence in us today. That's great. That's good news. So listen to this, friends. God remains faithful to his people. When? Well, look at it. Faithful to his people even through hardship and conflict. He's abounding in love, grace, forgiveness, comfort. He's initiating restoration and reconciliation. He is transforming his people. He is. And so you and I get to be like him. In 2 Corinthians 2, we see Paul talk about somebody and how to restore them and how to initiate restoration, how to actually be like Jesus. So let's check it out. 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he's caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, he says, he's caused pain to all of you. That's kind of a shout out to 1 Corinthians 12:26, by the way. Do you remember? We just talked about this, right? When one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. But the converse is true too. When one part is rewarded, everybody rejoices together. So to all of you, if somebody's caused pain, it's been to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough, like to be disciplined, to have broken fellowship. So you should rather actually turn to forgive him and comfort him if he wants it. If he wants comfort and forgiveness, turn to him, comfort him, forgive him. Or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, he says. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Now he's getting to this really personal stuff, right? This is what happens. We get tested and our obedience is developed through this. And he's testing these people. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive, he says. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I've forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Don't hang on to offense. Don't hang on to hardship. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Look to restore people If people don't want to be restored, you can't make them restored. But you can have discipline. You can have challenge. You can have broken fellowship. And when somebody turns back and somebody wants to be restored, comfort them. Forgive them. Like Jesus, initiate forgiveness to those who harmed you, spoken poorly of you, and whom you had conflict with. Don't give up on broken relationships. Friends, this is so much easier said than done. This is a painful reality for so many of us in our lives. But try. Reach out. Initiate it. Look, I want to give you how this can be so fruitful and how it can be so wonderful. And it comes straight from 2 Corinthians 2. It's 14 through 17. How do we do this? Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads in triumphal procession. And through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Influencer, as a Christ one, as a city set on a hill, we give the fragrance of his life everywhere as we live like Jesus. And it's impossible, utterly impossible on our own. But with God, nothing's impossible. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Look, for those who want Jesus, you're an aroma of Christ. To those who don't want Jesus, you're the aroma of Christ. Listen to how the people who want Jesus respond and the people who don't respond. You cannot make somebody want Jesus, but you can be an influencer. You can be a different kind of kingdom influencer. God's kingdom. To one, you're a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who's sufficient for these things? Who has it within them to do this? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Oh my goodness, you guys. This is that different kind of influence, that we would not try to sell God's word. We would not try to sell people on God's word. We would share who he is. We're not sufficient to do it on our own, but we're not on our own. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, praise God that you and I can speak and live in Christ. This is hard. You're going to have to repent of trying to manipulate people. And I was just talking with this amazing lady this week. Manipulation has been like really, really, really made negative. But for me today, to be able to record this message, to be able to be heard and seen, there's been a lot of manipulation that's had to happen. People have had to put things in place to be able to make this happen. To be able to get in your car, you have to manipulate. You have to turn that car on. You have to put on the gas, put it in gear, all these things, right? For us to be able to have an influence, we've got to use what we've been given. Give it to God and share it with others. I'm going to say this to you again. For some people, you and I are the fragrance of life. For some people, we're the fragrance of death. They look at the good news of Jesus and they don't want him. They don't think it's good news. But I can't do what I want to do. I can't be who I want to be. God actually has standards? Nah, that feels restrictive. That's like death. But for some people, they're like, wait, he loves me? He wants me? He'll forgive me? He's my hope? He's my strength? That's so invigorating. That's so life-giving. That smells like springtime come alive. Who wants that? Do you want that? Do you want to give that to people? Do you want to offer that to people? I want to remind you that there's a bunch of questions that you can go through, and I encourage you to go through those. But before I part with you, I want to read for you some desired outcomes that we're praying for this study online that will actually go into your lives, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to live out these desired outcomes. Here they are. an increased trust in God. Plain and simple, trusting God, even if. An increased faithfulness in your relationships, especially when it's hard, especially then. An increased desire to be transformed by God's Spirit, not just restored to God, but actually transformed, being made new, being made holy. A changed perspective of your trials, hardship, joy, wealth, and poverty, all of it. You're going to see that in 2 Corinthians. An increased sensitivity to the needs of others. We can never, ever, ever be too sensitive to the needs of others. Many of us struggle with that. I know I do. Finally, what we want to see is a desired outcome of studying and living out 2 Corinthians is an honesty about your weaknesses and a willingness to accept Christ's strength. So take some time today. Pray through this. Talk through this. I have 5 questions for you. I want to encourage you with that. Take time sooner than later, but maybe you go through this later, and that's okay. I just want to ask you not to put it off. And I want to call something out right now, right here at the end of our time. There's a number of you that are in a spot where it's so much more fulfilling for some reason to you to watch series on Netflix or to listen to the world in this half an hour-ish hour with the worship time of singing online and sharing online and listening online and contemplating all this stuff. Just seems like maybe a half an hour too long for you. Would you ask God to transform your perspective on this? That this could be the kind of thing that builds you up, fills you up, supplements what you've already been doing, and you can live it out. And that it's really important and it's really valuable. And talking about this and praying about it and conversing with your friends, with your family about this, with the Lord about this, and then living it out. That's what we are made for, is to honor God, to love Him, and to follow Him. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the time that we've had together. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And so may we be like you. May we love like you. God, I thank you so much for 2 Corinthians. I thank you for this letter to a broken group of people with broken relationships. And how the restoration wasn't to put people on blast. It wasn't just to put people out there until they come back. It wasn't just to ignore people. It was to initiate restoration and forgiveness. And that's really hard to do. But nothing's impossible for you. So may we trust you in that. God, I pray for restoration. I pray for great fruit. And I pray against the enemy who hates us and wants to separate us from your best. May that not be where we focus, is being separated, but may we seriously focus our lives on being loved and held by you. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. Jesus loves you. I love you and I miss you. Can't wait to see you in person. But until then, keep praying, keep reaching out to people. Bye-bye.